The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
On the line now is Beverly MacArthur, MP for Western Victoria in the Upper House. Good morning to you, Bev. How are you?
Good morning, Mitch. Not bad, except for a bit of a cold, but like everybody else has got at the moment.
Yes, I've got a little bit of one too, if people haven't picked up on that already, but we push on regardless.
Correct.
And you're at the home of greyhound racing today, are you?
I'm in Melton, where the City of Melton are launching their advocacy priorities. So, you know, that's where I am, with a great crowd of people. I've just stepped out of the big launch, but I'm here with you, Mitch.
So first of all, I mean, you and Andy Medic, one time we're going to have to get you both into the studio at the same time, I reckon, and have a respectful discussion around the table and sort out all of the disagreements that you two have and hopefully get a consensus. Do you think that would ever happen?
I doubt it, Mitch, but it makes for good radio, so I think it's a great idea.
We'll have to get you both on side. But you and him have been sparring partners right throughout this year, haven't you?
Well, we have, Mitch, because we come from very different perspectives in this great Western Victoria region, the home of agriculture that feeds the cities and exports to the world. And Andy's diametrically opposed to most of the industries that exist in Western Victoria region. So I fight him in the trenches every day.
What's the latest development on that?
Well, we're busily engaged in producing the final document of the Animal Activist Inquiry that's as a result of the Economic and Infrastructure Committee that I sit on as a voting member. Andy's a participating member. So that will be an interesting document for all to read, I'm sure. That will be moved through the House when we resume next year. But that's where I'll be tomorrow. Or the next day, dealing with the final deliberative report. But what are the latest things? Well, of course, Andy, you know he wants to ban duck hunting, and the other day moved a motion about fur products. But he did actually invoke Her Majesty in the whole argument, and I thought it was most interesting that, and I did suggest that Andy was now a monarchist, which is most interesting, and I thought he'd probably be glued to episodes of The Crown, and now that he was involved in deciding what Her Majesty should have in her wardrobe, whether it was fur or not fur, that was a new curious development in his activities. Now, we were discussing the fact that there are illegal fur products apparently being sold in markets, and I pointed out that, well, clearly, what are the regulators doing? If something's illegal, the regulators need to be sorting it out. If they're not doing the job, we need to sack them and get some new ones. But, you know, if there are laws and regulations about what can be imported into this country and what can and cannot be sold, then there are already laws, consumer laws and import laws and quarantine laws and so on and so forth, they need to be enforced. So no need for his motion. But anyway, we had an interesting debate on it.
Now, industrial manslaughter, this has been a hot topic in the Legislative Council of late to round out the year. In principle, do you think that employers should be penalised if there's unsafe work practices that lead to someone dying on the job?
Well, there are already laws that cover this. So in my speech, I said there was no need for this legislation because they're all very already strict laws covering safe workplaces. And of course, we all want safe workplaces. Nobody, employers, workers, the consumers, the public, the government, nobody wants to see a non-safe workplace. That's rubbish. But this law, this new legislation, changes the whole parameter of mutual responsibility in the workplace. So it was a shared responsibility between employers and employees, and that's only fair and reasonable and makes common sense. No worker should come to work in an unfit state to work and then cause injury to others or themselves or whatever. So that's very important. And so now we've got a law that says the only person responsible for workplace safety is effectively the employer. And the penalties for this, if WorkSafe decides that you've breached the law, 20 years imprisonment and $16 million. Now, where this legislation has been in place in Queensland, and where a Senate inquiry was set up to examine it, we had the interesting and very serious case of the Goggin business and family, who spent 2 years defending their situation, where they were taken to court over the incident of a workplace death, and it was actually a friend's son or close neighbour or whatever. Hundreds of thousands of dollars later in legal fees, 2 years of court activities, and a business gone down the tube. And what happened? It was decided there were no charges could be laid. Now, that's the end result of some of this legislation that we're going to see. And certainly Mr. Goggin said he felt that he'd become a poster boy to justify the existence of the legislation. Now, we don't want that. In ACT, where it exists, the workplace injuries and death has not, the figures have not changed. So it hasn't made a sort of difference. We need to have everybody responsible in the workplace for, you know, poor safety and workplace safety activities. Everybody's got to be responsible. It has to be met. But no, we don't have that any longer in Victoria.
And I believe that you and others have been pressing Gail Tierney for some information on how things might play out, and the response has been, well, we don't deal in hypotheticals.
Correct. I spent several hours in the chamber dealing with this legislation, and in the committee stages I suggested a whole lot of scenarios that she needed to respond to us so that we could establish exactly what would happen. In the instance, say, of an animal activist who came onto a farm and caused the injury or death of a worker of that farm, who would be responsible? The animal activist who caused the problem, or the farmer? In the situation of local government, if an injury or death occurs in a community facility, who would be responsible? The voluntary committees that run the facility, might be a hall or something like that. A council officer who might be assigned to that facility, even a governmental officer, who would be responsible, or the mayor, the councillors, the CEO, all those people in charge of that facility. Now, all those, and there were many more questions, people needed to have answers, but the minister would not answer any of those detailed questions. I also asked about the situation of the police. If the police, a policeman dies, you know, in his work, who's responsible? The chief commissioner, the minister, the premier? Who? Because they're effectively employing the police. We need answers to all these questions. We didn't get them. We put up amendments that would have made the bill slightly better, but no amendments were accepted or passed. And so we do have to thank the crossbench for voting with the government on this draconian legislation.
Fire danger. Today it's going to be very hot, and there's going to be more days like this as the summer progresses, no doubt. How do you think we're going? And, of course, your campaign has been about roadside vegetation.
Correct, Mitch. Well, as I've driven to Melton from Camperdown today, in many areas there's grass on the roadside, way above fence height. There's some slashing that's gone on. Well, that's just laid the long grass on the ground, even more fuel. And I think the government have been completely negligent in how they've prepared Victoria for the fire season. We've decimated the volunteer fire service, so we've lost, over 3,000 volunteers. We do nothing about roadside vegetation. It could all be grazed. All those starving stock in other parts of Australia that have had to be slaughtered or they've died could have been in Victoria. Grazing the roadsides would have ensured that we kept the breeding stock alive for other parts of Australia, at the same time reduced the fire risk. We've got power poles, as you would have seen, that are derelict, and they cause fires. They've happened in St. Patrick's Day fires. I've pointed out to the government that there is a company in Moolah that could provide totally fireproof, vermin-proof, waterproof power poles, but no, Power Corps don't want them. So we keep on pressing on with these wooden power poles, which are fire-prone, and they haven't got the capacity to replace the old fire power poles. You know, 270 years, I think it's estimated they'll take to replace them all. We'll all be dead or burnt out, Mitch.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program. It's been great to catch up with you throughout 2019. I'm looking forward to doing it all again in 2020, maybe with Andy Medic, we'll see. But look, have a great Christmas, and I really appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thanks, Mitch. It's been a pleasure to talk with you on a regular basis. I look forward to doing it in 2020, and I wish all your listeners a very happy Christmas, a safe and prosperous new year, and please avoid the potholes in Western Victoria region.
Yes, thank you very much. Beverly MacArthur joining us there, Liberal MP for Western Victoria Region.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.